Lakes payment today, and when you do, you take that often forgotten last step. Don't wait any longer. KPFT depends on you.
Think Wing Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. It is 10:01 and a half p.m. on Wednesday night. I am Mike Koenig. I am here with Egberto Willis, my engineer and compatriot. And we're going to have an interesting show tonight. We're going to be talking about Obamacare. You know, we're getting close to the deadline for 2015. February 15th is the last day, basically 11:59 p.m. on February 15th is the deadline if you want coverage beginning March 1st for 2015. And tonight, we are going to have someone from Health and Human Services. His name is Michael. We're going to go by Michael because I'm Mike, and otherwise it'll get terminally confusing. Michael Coulter, he's an outreach health insurance specialist, Division of Medicare Health Plan Operations in the Customer Service Branch in the Dallas Regional Office, and we're getting him on the line here. He will, of course, be dressed in business casual, even though it's 10 o'clock at night and he has to get up at like 5 in the morning, but we're going to stick with that story. I just want to start off by saying we will take phone calls because I expect usually when I do shows like this about Obamacare, ACA signups, usually the calls start early and we have a lot of information. So I'm going to start with the phone number, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, and we'll take calls shortly so you can start filling up lines if you have any questions about either how to sign up, where to sign up, what's involved in signing up, what kinds of plans may be available, what kinds of options may be available, differences between HMOs and PPOs, differences between copays and deductibles. All of those questions are fair game, as well as anything pertaining to your particular situation. Michael will not be able to give you anything like prices or really, really specific information. But as someone who knows the system, he can give you a lot of other information on how to resolve any questions you have. Also, if you go to my website at thinkwingradio.com, I have links to healthcare.gov. I have links to Texas Medicaid. I have information on the Harris County Health System. All of these things are potential options for anybody who needs medical insurance, so there's really quite a lot there. ThinkWingRadio.com. Go to the post on the blog tab, today's show announcement, and that'll give you also a point of departure, quite a bit of information there. 713-526-5738. Okay, I've got Michael on the line. You there, sir? Michael?
How are you?
Hey. Michael?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Okay, great.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
And, of course, you're dressed in your business formal so that we can handle this like a real business deal.
I'm doing my very best tonight for you.
I am so sure. Okay, so were you able to find anything on any local enrollment events? I know we had talked about the possibility that you might be able to find some of those going on. That's not a huge question, but did you turn anything up?
Yes, I sure did. What I've done is I sent a email listing to you to show where the local events were going to be in the Houston area. And basically, on Saturday and Sunday, there are 6 of the 12 multi-service centers that are going to be offering extended hours with live presentations and enrollment assisters there to help individuals sign up for the marketplace. Those 6 of the 12 that are offering the additional assistance are located in the Sunnyside Multi-Service Center there on Cullen Street and the Magnolia Multi-Service Center on Capitol Street, the Denver Harbor Multi-Service Center, which is at Market Street there in Houston, and the Acres Home Multi-Service Center, which is located on West Montgomery, 6719 West Montgomery. And then the Northeast Multi-Service Center, located at 9720 Spalding, in addition to the Southwest Service Center at 6400 High Star. So those 6 of the 12 are offering the extended hours. And, of course, the extended hours for this weekend are going to be from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., both days. That's really a great opportunity for people to go to that. And they can go to that no matter which area of town they live in. They can go to the closest multi-service center to them if they want an in-person assister to help them.
Okay. And what I'll do is when I get home, I'll go ahead and add that to the post with the various links for signing up.
Super.
Okay. Again, we have open lines, and we will take questions. Michael will, and I will to a lesser extent, I'm sure, 713-526-5738. We're talking about enrollment in Obamacare and ACA. Telephone number for ACA is 1-800-318-2596. That is a 24-hour-a-day number. So if you're the kind of person listening to this show who's kind of an evening person and all of a sudden stuff hits your mind at 2 a.m., it's like, oh, gee, I really need to take care of that, they'll take your call at 2 a.m. So that's really good, and they're really, really helpful folks. Okay, so Michael, I did give your qualifications here. So who qualifies for getting health care through the federal marketplace?
Well, when you're talking about the marketplace, we're talking about folks that do not have health insurance right now. So we're looking for individuals who don't have any existing health insurance. They don't have insurance through their employer. They don't have Medicare. They don't have Medicaid. They don't have access to VA services. They're not on CHIP. These are folks that just do not have health insurance. Now, they have to meet some other eligibility criteria, including, you know, being lawfully present in the United States. And there is some income requirements as well. So,
now, this is really important. Lawfully present in the United States does not mean you have to have a green card.
That's right.
It means you can be on a work visa, a student visa, whatever, a visitor's visa. Whatever legal status you have in the United States is sufficient for you to qualify for getting medical insurance during your stay here.
That's correct. Now, in certain circumstances, you're going to need to be able to provide proof of that,
of course,
citizenship or that eligibility by providing copies of the documents. And if you actually are applying in person with one of our sisters at one of these sites that I mentioned earlier, or if you are doing it through the website yourself at healthcare.gov, you can actually upload these documents into your application at the time you fill out the application. So there's no need to actually mail off any originals. We strongly discourage people from sending any original documents because the likelihood of you getting them back is very low.
Close to zero.
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
One of the confusions that arises here in Texas is because our Texas government decided, at least for the time being, not to accept the Medicaid expansion. That leads to some peculiarities in terms of eligibility, in terms of subsidies. Can you describe that a little bit, where people might hit some funny glitches?
Sure. In the state of Texas, as you mentioned, the Texas did not expand their Medicaid enrollment eligibility. So what that means is there are people who don't meet the minimum requirements for the marketplace financial in order to get the tax subsidies to help them pay for their premium, but they can still sign up for the marketplace insurance if they have another resource to help them pay for that premium other than their sources of income. Now, what happens is there are some people that really are above the income threshold for Medicaid, but they're below the threshold income for the marketplace insurance in order to receive a tax subsidy. Individuals in those situations should seek out those community resources that are available. In Houston, I know that the Harris County Health System has a medical program designed for people that are in this category of, we call it the income gap. They just are not making enough financial income for the marketplace, but they are bringing in too much income to qualify for Medicaid. And because Medicaid didn't expand their eligibility criteria, there are some people like single males who wouldn't meet the Medicaid eligibility criteria in a non-expansion state. Texas is one of those states. Our neighbors up north in Oklahoma is one of those states. And so we have that same situation across the board. We have it in Oklahoma, Louisiana, and here in Texas.
Now, the Harris County Health System, I believe that is not for residents of Houston per se. That is specifically for residents of Harris County. So if you're in Houston, Montgomery County, if you're in Houston, Fort Bend, I don't think you can qualify that. But on the other hand, if you're in Harris County but not in Houston, if you're in Harris County, Bel Air, if you're in Harris County, Cypress, you can qualify for that.
Well, you would know more about that than I would.
Okay, you see, there we go. One of those little questions I can answer.
But you're right. When we're talking about Harris County, the Harris County Health System, for that particular program, you would be needing to meet the criteria for that health care program. There's also rural health clinics. There's also other health care organizations and charitable organizations, hospital foundations, hospital indigent programs, community hospitals, those places that have always been that safety net for the indigent community or those that are just not able to qualify for some of the other assistance that's available through the marketplace or other insurance programs, those community resources are still there. The good news about this is that those programs that have always been there, which had to meet the needs of lots of people, are now being able to focus those resources on people who don't qualify for the marketplace and don't qualify for Medicaid. So, you know, where they've had a traditional limited number of funds to be able to use to meet this population, they now have fewer people to have to meet the needs of those people with the same funds, which means that they're able to offer more services to the people who don't qualify for the other program.
More people are able to afford medical insurance or obtain medical insurance. And there are people who can afford it who never used to be able to obtain it. So there is that weird little group. And also, as you point out, it frees up funds for people who are in even more dire need.
That's right. And these programs that we mentioned, like Harris Health and some of the other programs, they're doing a better job of screening their applicants, the people that are seeking services from them, because they're also wanting everyone who's eligible for the marketplace to sign up for the marketplace, because every person that they can get off their rolls and onto the rolls for marketplace or onto the rolls for Medicaid is another slot they have to help somebody who doesn't qualify for those other programs. So it's really putting people in the right program for them where they are financially and with their health care needs.
You are listening to ThinkWing Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM with Mike Honig and my compatriot Egberto Willis, who has a show called Politics Done Right on Mondays at 9 p.m. Here we do politics okay, and tonight we're not doing politics at all. So you see just a lot of variation there. My guest is Michael Coulter. He is with Outreach Health. He is an Outreach Health Insurance Specialist for Medicare Advantage and health plans, and he works in the Dallas Regional Office of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And we are answering questions tonight about the Affordable Care Act, how to sign up for it, how to sign up for Obamacare, any questions you might have about peculiar situations that he might be able to help you address, general information about what you need to apply. We are taking phone calls, so anything that you would like to ask, please do. The phone number is 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. So, first of all, people can apply online, on the phone, or in person at one of the organizations that assists in signing up, correct?
That's correct.
And what information does someone need to have available? And there are two ways I know of doing this. You can just go in and sort of anonymous without putting in personal information, and you won't be able to get a personalized estimate, but you can kind of peruse the various plans, bronze, silver, gold, and platinum, look at the differences, sort of educate yourself a little bit. And then if you want something more specific, you can actually make a login and tell them your income and those sorts of things. What information do you need to have when you're going through this process?
Well, Mike, you know, one of the things that we would like to do, that we are able to do this year that we weren't able to do last year, is we're able to offer people a preview of the 2015 plans that are available. And it also gives you some basic prices before you actually go into the application process. That way you can sort of do some window shopping to see what's going to be available for you before you actually commit to going through the application process. Now, this is available on our website, which is at healthcare.gov. If you go to the healthcare.gov website, then you go to the How to Apply and Enroll tab. If you go to that tab, what you'll find is an opportunity to preview the 2015 plans. Now, in that opportunity, the only information you have to provide them is your zip code, the people in your household, the ages of the people in your household, no names, no Social Security numbers at that point, their ages, their smoking status, and who you want to cover. So, for instance, if it's three people in your household, you're going to list three people with three ages, three smoking statuses, and one zip code for those three people. If you'll plug in that much information, which is generic information, no Privacy Act information necessary there, you can get a basic overview of what plans are available, the types of plans, whether they're HMOs or PPOs. You can see the names of the plans, and you can see an estimated cost. Now, one other thing that you need to do in this preview section is you need to estimate what your income is expected to be. Income is one of the key factors in determining not only the premium tax credit that somebody's eligible for, but it also is the key factor in determining what that premium is going to be. So when you're looking at the preview section, you want to plug in estimated income, age of the people that you're looking for the insurance for, the smoking status, and the zip code. That's all you need for the preview portion. Now, after you've looked at that, or, you know, even if you don't want to look at that, you can go on to the same next section and start your application. One of the things that has to happen in order for the application to be accepted is somebody needs to create an account.
I do want to just insert this. Starting the application process does not obligate you to actually buy insurance from the marketplace.
That is absolutely correct. You can go through the entire application process. You can even select a plan. But until you make your premium payment for the portion that you're responsible for, you still don't have the coverage in effect.
So as far as that goes, you still have complete freedom of choice. You're not being trapped or surprised.
Right, and I think that's really important for people to know. You know, this is not a gotcha type of website. This is an informational website that's designed to help people to get health care in a user-friendly environment where people can do this at home on their own, or if they need assistance or they don't have information, you know, IT information about computers, or you don't know how to navigate a website, you can go to one of the sites that we mentioned previously.
Or that phone number.
And some friendly person at our customer service center will walk them through the process.
And he's not being facetious, because I've been on that phone number, and in fact, they are amazingly helpful, amazingly patient, especially at a time last year when they were taking, I think, a lot of abuse from people. And I got to tell you, these people were heroic in terms of their politeness.
And I think it's also important for people to know that if English is not their primary language, there's a number of other languages that are available through the call center. Of course, we have translators for Spanish speaking individuals at our sites when we go to do the in-person application process. But online, you can get all of the information in multiple languages. And then if you call the call center to do your application over the phone, we have translators available in over 30 different languages.
And that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's right.
So I'm going to give you the number again, and I'll repeat this a few times through the show. 1-800-318-2596. That's Obamacare, healthcare.gov, 1-800-318-2596. So in terms of the income levels, where different subsidies start for different size families and what, can you give us any kind of guidance on that?
Well, you know, when we're talking about the tax credits, we're talking about looking at figures that are above $10,500 for an individual for income in order to be eligible for the marketplace. And you can get a tax subsidy up to, I believe it's just under $86,000 for a family of four. So if you are in that range, you're going to be eligible for a tax subsidy. And, you know, we just released a report last week. It came out from the Department of Health and Human Services that in the 37 states that are using the healthcare.gov to enroll, 6.5 million Americans were able to enroll. That's incredible. And it says that 8 in 10 people had the opportunity to select a plan for under $100.
And in those states, that's just the number of people who enrolled in the marketplace. It doesn't include the number of people who are able to obtain Medicaid assistance.
That's correct.
Who didn't know they were eligible for Medicaid assistance.
That's right. And in those 37 states, that's not just our federally facilitated marketplace states like Texas and Oklahoma. That's our states that are also partner states with us that are using our marketplace healthcare.gov platform to do their enrollment. So really, it covers all of the states except for the state-based exchanges that have their own websites and platforms for enrolling their citizens of their state into the marketplace.
Now, when you talk about income minimum, I think you said $10,500 for a single person was the minimum.
Right, and for a married couple, that amount was $20,300.
What I think was interesting was when you said that the maximum amount to obtain any kind of subsidy would be $86,000 a year for a family of four. That probably covers about 70% of families of four.
Yeah, it really does. You know, when you look at the numbers, it's pretty amazing that there's so many people that are eligible for this. Now, remember, these are folks that don't have insurance now. So it has to be affordable because you're building something into your budget that you've not had in your budget before. If you've not had insurance, you've not been paying a premium of any amount. And like most household budgets, when there's a new item that has to be added to the budget, that's going to take a toll. It's going to take a hit on the budget.
Yes.
The purpose of having the tax subsidies is to help people that have not had this in their budget who need to put it into their budget to be compliant with the law and to also have that health insurance for their families, it gives them the opportunity to get some assistance while they're in the process of building that into their budget.
Now, there are two ways that you can get that subsidy assistance. You've got something called the premium tax credit and the advance premium tax credit. You want to tell us quickly what the differences are?
Sure, I can touch on that a little bit. And you know, basically, the advanced premium tax credit is the amount of money that an individual is determined to be eligible for at the end of the application process before they make their plan selection. This is the amount that the federal government is going to send directly to that insurance company on your behalf each month that you're receiving the coverage for that coverage year. So, for instance, if a family of four is determined to be eligible for a $400 premium tax credit, they choose to get an advanced premium tax credit. It goes to the insurance that they have selected each month on their behalf into their account. And then the other amount of the premium, in order to make up the total amount of the premium, comes from the individual. Every month that the individual sends their premium in, the federal government will send their portion of the premium in too, and they will have complete coverage and complete premium paid for that family.
I suspect for the average family, the smart and least painful way to do it would be to simply have the advanced premium tax credit. There's no intrinsic advantage or financial advantage to taking the tax credit against your income taxes for the rest, for the end of the year, unless that's just a way that you feel you would like to budget it so you can get some kind of a return or some kind of a credit against tax.
Right. It is one of the choices that individuals have when they finish the application process. How do they want to apply their premium tax credit? Now, the only way you can get a premium tax credit is if you enroll in the marketplace insurance through the marketplace. So if somebody finds out because they make too much money that they're not going to be eligible for a premium tax credit at all, they don't have to go through the marketplace to go get insurance. They can contact an agent or broker. They can contact the insurance company directly. Remember, they still have to be compliant with the law and have the coverage, but there's no
rule
that says they have to go through the marketplace to get it.
Okay, now that's something I didn't know. So to get the subsidy, you have to enroll through the marketplace.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. That's important. We have open lines. We are taking questions. If you want to give us a call, 713-526-5738, 713-526-5738. Now, I touched briefly initially on the fact that there are generally four levels of plans. You've got your bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. And within each category, there is a variety of plans with different deductibles, different copays, different kinds of prescription benefits. And generally, when you go from bronze to silver, your copays and deductibles are less. And then going to gold, they become less. And then going to platinum, they become the least. And of course, at each level, you have to pay a higher premium. And obviously, there again, you have to make a choice between how much you're paying per month for your premiums, how much you can afford, how much exposure you want. But I think one of the things that's important is, especially if you are in a subsidy situation, sometimes going from a bronze to a silver or a silver to a gold can cost much, much less than you might expect and is worth exploring.
That's right. And when, what happens is people think, well, I need to go with the cheapest premium. Well, there's other costs of insurance. And depending on how frequently you need to use the doctor or if you have a chronic health condition, you remember there's a lot of people that are getting insurance for the first time that have what is called chronic health conditions or pre-existing health conditions. And those individuals need to see a doctor or a health care provider pretty frequently. In some instances, it will be to the consumers benefit to do a little bit of window shopping before they make their plan selection, because the cheapest premium may not be the most economical choice for them.
Sometimes it's not the lowest price, it's the best value.
That's right.
What was I about to ask? One of the weird things, again, because of Texas not being in the expanded Medicaid program, and we touched on this earlier, I just want to sort of get to it again. It is actually possible to get too little to get a subsidy, and then you have to look into other things like the Harris County Health System or other local health services.
That's correct, yeah. There are income requirements for being eligible for the tax subsidy. Now, the income requirements don't limit somebody from applying for the health insurance, because, you know, there are such a thing as third-party payers.
Sure.
If somebody has a relative who's willing to pay the premium for the individual may not be eligible to qualify for any tax subsidy, but they can certainly have you know, grandma or an uncle or brother or sister, somebody that wants to chip in and help pay for their premium so that they can get the health insurance that they need.
You might be a low-paid 28-year-old who no longer qualifies to be on your parents' insurance, but they're still willing to help you get health insurance.
That's right. And so, you know, there's other options available. And, of course, we always want to talk about those community safety net health options that are available in each of the communities where people live. Those places that have traditionally served the underinsured or the indigent population, those that have income limitations and don't have the resources to be able to provide health care for their families, but yet they have too many resources to qualify for Medicaid.
Yeah, it's kind of a nasty place to be. You are listening to KPFT 90.1 FM. This is Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig and my compatriot Egberto Willis, who so far has not had an opportunity or reason to break in. And we have open lines. You can call and ask questions at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. And we do have a caller on the line. John, how you doing tonight?
Hello, Mike. Thank you for the T-shirt.
You're welcome. I was going to ask you if you got it.
Oh, yes, yes. I was going to call before, but you had the fundraiser going on, et cetera.
Yeah, I know.
But as usual, you're doing a service for the folks, and I have a question concerning the donut hole. It's my understanding.
Okay, now the donut hole is a Medicare thing.
Right.
I don't know if Michael will be able to help with that, but go.
Oh, I see. Okay, because I was under the understanding that because when Obamacare passed, Affordable Care Act passed, that part of it, I thought, that's why I'm calling,
okay,
was that the donut hole is going to disappear in increments.
Okay, that's an important question. Michael, can you give us any information on that?
I can answer that a little bit.
Okay.
When you refer to the donut hole, yes, that is a Medicare term that's used to describe that gap between somebody. It has to do with the prescription drugs, and it has to do with the amount of money that somebody pays for their prescription drugs up to a maximum amount that Medicare covers, and then they go into what's called the gap. That donut hole period, where the cost of those medications then falls back at a full cost or a reduced cost on the beneficiary. Your caller, John, is correct in saying that because of one of the provisions in the Affordable Care Act, the donut hole is being decreased a little bit each year to the point where there will not be a donut hole in just a few years. And so when we're talking about the donut hole, it is a decreasing donut hole, which means that for most people, depending on the cost of their medications that they receive, these are Medicare recipients that I'm talking about here.
Correct. Medicare, not Medicaid.
Medicare, yes.
That the Medicare recipients, the cost of their medications, it will take a longer period of time before they get to the donut hole. And then when they're in the donut hole, it'll be a shorter period of time that they're in the donut hole before the new year would start.
Offhand, do you know how long it'll take before it goes away?
You know, Mike, I really don't want to say a date because I might be wrong.
Okay.
But I want to say it's within the next 3 years.
Okay.
That the donut hole will be completely gone.
Yes, I've heard three, and then someone else had told me that it was five. Either way, it's very good. And
well, we've already had 2 years of it, so we've already decreased the donut hole gap by 2 years. So if it's a 5-year gap, then the 3-year estimate that I have for it would be very close.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Right.
Yes. Well, once again, thank you, and sir, you're very knowledgeable, and it's a shame that more folks just don't pay attention to this. You know, they say that they don't like Obamacare. But the Affordable Care Act is wonderful.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that so bizarre? What are you going to do?
John,
but we're not talking politics.
Tonight.
Thanks so much for calling, John.
Thank you. Have a good evening,
Thank
gentlemen.
You. Take care.
Bye.
All right. We have open lines. We're taking questions. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. Let's see. I already asked that question.
Well, Mike, let me toss something in here.
Sure.
You know, when we're talking about the Affordable Care Act and we're talking about these health insurance policies, You know, there are some things in these policies that people need to know what's covered.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people think that these are special policies that the government's put out. These are the same policies that are available inside and outside the marketplace. All health care policies have to cover what we call 10 essential health benefits. And those 10 essential health benefits are included in all of the marketplace plans.
Can you outline those a little? Because, yeah, that's
sure.
really important for people who are afraid that even with a health policy, they may still not be able to afford to go to a doctor except under catastrophic circumstances because they're afraid of copays and deductibles. So, yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay, let me tell you about some of the things that are covered. Of course, you have your ambulatory patient services. That includes your outpatient care you get when you're without being admitted to the hospital. Then you have your emergency services. You have your hospitalization, such as surgery. If you have a surgery, that would be covered under the insurance. Pregnancy, maternity, and newborn care is available through the health insurance marketplace plans, as well as all plans outside the health insurance marketplace now. One of the new things that's covered by all the plans that wasn't always covered before is mental health and substance abuse disorder services. That's huge.
That is huge.
You know, the recidivism rate for substance abuse in our country is very high, and being able to have covered services throughout an entire coverage year, that's a great benefit for someone to have. And now, with the mental health services being included, including psychotherapy, this allows people access to counseling. It allows people access to some of the other forms of mental health services in addition to prescription drugs, which are always used for one of the courses of treatment for some of the mental health services. Of course, all prescription drugs are covered by the plans. Now, but what you need to know with prescription drugs is each plan is going to cover all the classifications of drugs, but they may not cover every specific drug. So once again, it's up to the consumer to do some homework and to look at the formularies for each of the plans that they're considering going with. And those are all available online. They can look at the formulary. They can write down their list of medicines that they take, and they can compare that list of medicines with what the plan offers, and then they can make a determination on which plan they want to go with just based on the medications they take and the physician they want to see. All rehabilitative and habilitative services and devices are also included. And, of course, your standard laboratory services and your pediatric services for children. The one thing that's also new is the preventive and wellness services. And this is huge, because if you get a screening and early on you detect a health condition in its earliest stages, it is so much better to get treatment at that point than to wait until it's a very expensive, very life-threatening situation. So three big things are in these health insurance plans that are new to health insurance plans for everybody: the pregnancy and maternity, the mental health and substance abuse, and the preventive and wellness services. Those are all things that are really key to having a healthy lifestyle and to having a longer, more productive life. And, you know, the whole goal of having health insurance is to be healthy, you know, to have your preventive screenings and then also be able to take care of whatever health need comes up as it comes up.
One of the things that people sometimes comment on is that, and this is often a political discussion, is that because you're getting people who have health care for the first time or for the first time in many, many years, that you suddenly have this surge of sick people suddenly coming in and getting treatment. In a commercial sense, I think that would be known as a pent-up demand. And as with any pent-up demand, over time, hopefully, people who are sick will get treated and get better, and people who are well, who take advantage of the wellness options, won't get so sick. So it's like you see maybe sort of a bell curve where you'll have this surge, and then hopefully over time the intent is for these things to sort of flatten out as the population essentially gets and remains healthier.
Well, you know, any time you've not had health insurance and you go to the doctor for the first time, a doctor's going to want to have a baseline understanding of what your health situation is. You know, they're going to ask a whole bunch of questions during that first visit, obviously, because they don't have a health history on you. You know, our relationships with our doctors is very, very important. And our doctor needs to know us. Our doctor needs to know what's normal for us. you know, I was just at the doctor not too long ago, and they were doing that preliminary check, you know, before you see the doctor, and they were taking my temperature. And, you know, my temperature doesn't register normal, 98.6, when I'm not sick.
Mm.
You know, I'm like one of those 94 people.
I'm 97.1.
Yeah, so if I have a 98.6 temperature, I have to tell the person, hey, I've got a fever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I've been there.
And so, you know, things like that. Your doctor needs to know what's normal for you. They find out what's normal for you when they do a baseline screening. They run a few basic lab tests. They find out, you know, what is your health condition coming into the doctor's office for the first time, maybe ever, or at least in a long time. You know, because most people that don't have health insurance, they don't just frequent the doctor for a wellness check. They wait until they've got six or seven things going on, and some of them are bad, and you might be bleeding. You know, I mean, it's just human nature to put things off. But hopefully, when they have insurance, they won't put things off. When we put things off, they become expensive things to treat. When we take care of things as they come up, or through screenings, preventive screenings, they're so much less expensive to treat, and they're also less invasive.
If I have
a predisposition to diabetes and I get some counseling on how to eat better or weight management or some of the other factors that go into diagnosing diabetes, if I put those things into place, that's a whole lot cheaper than being on insulin the rest of my life or losing limbs because of diabetes. You know, amputations are very expensive, but they also take a toll on somebody's independence. And, you know, if it's a preventable illness, if it's a preventable disease, why wouldn't we want to do everything we can do to prevent it?
You know, I once heard, actually I've heard several times, and while the number varies, it's usually in the same range, that something like 67% of all bankruptcies in the United States, all personal bankruptcies, are due to medical expenses. I once had an overnight stay in the hospital in 2007. That overnight stay, if I had not been covered by insurance, would have been about $22,000.
Wow.
Now, you look at how much insurance might cost you in the marketplace without premiums, you might just buy a bronze plan where it might have like a $6,000 deductible, but that $6,000 deductible is going to keep you from going bankrupt. You know, it's a matter of degree. So the purpose of health insurance isn't necessarily to cost you nothing, but it's to prevent not only health catastrophes, but financial catastrophes.
You know, you're so right. You know, just a simple broken leg going into the emergency room to get taken care of, because if you break your leg, that's where you got to go. That can be $23,000.
Wow.
You know, just simple things.
It's cheaper to have a stroke.
And, you know, if you've never had a stroke and you go in with your first one, there could be a lot of tests run.
Now you've got a broken leg and a stroke.
Yes. So, you know, you're right. You know, having insurance, it does provide you some peace of mind when you go to bed at night. And knowing, you know, as a parent, knowing that your children are taken care of if something bad happens to them, you know, I don't understand why you wouldn't explore the option to see if you're eligible if you've got other people that are counting on you to make those decisions for you.
Now, talking about kids, I think there are special insurance plan provisions for kids. Is that not correct?
Sure. Children are important, and children are covered under all of the marketplace plans. We have some special provisions in the Affordable Care Act for children up to age 26 can stay on their parents' plan. If the parents have health insurance through an employer or through the marketplace, they can actually stay on their parents' plan longer. That's a great option. We also have some plans available for people age 30 and under. If they are in a special category and they need catastrophic coverage, meaning they just want coverage to be compliant with the law, they don't anticipate ever getting sick, you know, they're the invincibles, those under 30s that think nothing bad ever is going to happen to them.
They're going to be the first ones to live forever.
Yeah, they're going to live forever, and they need insurance too because, you know, they're not exempted from the law. So there's a special coverage option for them available in the catastrophic coverage, and we encourage all individuals who are eligible for the marketplace to sign up for the marketplace, because it would really be a tragedy for a young person who's just starting out in life to be hit with a penalty for not having insurance.
Now, there's also something else that's interesting about the marketplace. Generally, when you get insurance through a company, that is for immediate family. It's not for cousins who may be living with you, nephews, aunts, parents who may be living with you but are not on Medicare or Medicaid for some reason. And I believe that under the health plans in the marketplace, it's just a matter of being in your household and you claim them as a dependent.
Yeah, you know, for a household, the definition of a household is who you're filing on your taxes with. Who is your tax household? That is the definition of a household. So, for instance, if you have a dependent parent who lives in your household who is not Medicare eligible for whatever reason, then you can actually get a health plan that covers that individual too. Now, one thing I want to mention here is that if you have Medicare, you don't need to be involved in the Affordable Care Act.
And actually can't be.
And you can't. And so it's not a better deal to go to the marketplace if you have Medicare. If you have Medicare, you have the best deal you can get. And that's the type of insurance that you need to have. But there are people that are Medicare age who are not eligible for Medicare. Those individuals, if they are somebody's dependent, if they're living with an adult child who may be taking care of them or providing for their care, and they're considered a dependent of that individual, then they would qualify in that household for marketplace insurance.
And that
same thing goes with adult children who are dependents through disabilities and things like that.
An example would be, for example, someone who had immigrated to the United States late in life may not have had enough working quarters to qualify, or maybe you brought a parent over who was already over 65 from another country, and they haven't had enough time or maybe no time at all to qualify. And those people could be over 65 or 70 years old and have no other means of insurance.
That's right. I met a man just this past Sunday. I was doing an enrollment event up in Irving, Texas. And I met a man who was 95 years old. He had just come here from India. He was going to be living with his adult daughter. He was in amazing health. He took no medicines, hadn't been to the doctor in years, looked like he was about 60. It was incredible. But he was going to be his daughter's dependent. He had come here because of his age, and his daughter wanted to take care of him, but he wasn't eligible for Medicare. He never was going to be eligible for Medicare.
Until the ACA, he would have not been able to get any medical insurance at all.
That's right. He would have just been a financial burden if he had a medical need on his family. And so, 'cause he had no sources of income. And so this was an opportunity for his daughter to get health care for her dad. And she's using her income as head of household filer. He is her dependent, her tax dependent. And so, you know, it's going to work out for him to be able to get coverage. It's you know, every situation is a little unique. We see a lot of adult children caring for parents that have come to this country later in life so that the children can take care of them. And so we see this opportunity for people to get coverage for all of the members of their household. Remember, a healthy member of somebody else's household next to you makes your neighborhood a little bit healthier too. And so, you know, it really is a global problem. And health care, when we're talking about health care, it's not just what's happening in your house. It's what's happening in your community, what's happening in the city where you live. You know, we talked about, you know, in the news you see this thing about the mumps and the measles being spread around because people aren't getting immunizations. Immunizations are covered under the health care marketplace. So, you know, people who might not have the financial means to get those immunizations before. Now, I understand there's still people that object to it for whatever reason, you know, other than the financial. But the financial part of it will be eliminated because that's considered a preventive service.
You know, another aspect of the financial part is you talk about the wellness of a community as opposed to an individual. Just from a business perspective, if someone is drowning in medical debt, they're not a good customer. and they're not spending money in the community.
They're not a good employee. They're not, you know, I mean, debt is not good for anybody. It's not good for an individual. It's not good for a family. And it's not good for a nation. And so when we look at how we can eliminate health care debt, part of eliminating health care debt is having insurance to cover some of the costs of the health care that we need.
Or if it's catastrophic, most of the costs.
That's right.
You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig and Egberto Willis here on KPFT 90.1 FM. We still have a few minutes if you want to make a call. We have open lines, 713-526-5738. One of the important things that I think we need to talk about, people keep hearing about, this is your last chance, this is your last chance. If you don't sign up now, you're going to have to wait until next year. That's technically true, but there are exceptions. These special enrollment periods for life-changing events, let's talk about those a little bit. Under what circumstances can you add or subtract or in some way change your coverage when you are not in a regular enrollment period?
Okay, that's a great question because that does come up all year long. And so when we look at coverage outside the open enrollment period, a couple of things you have to take into consideration. First of all, if you were eligible to sign up and you didn't sign up by the end of February 15th, which is going to be Sunday, if you don't sign up by February 15th, 2015, in most cases, your situation is closed. Your door is closed to get enrollment. Now, in a few situations, like say you get married or you have a baby or you lose a job-based coverage, you may qualify what's called a special enrollment period. Now, the special enrollment period will allow you to have a open enrollment period which lasts longer than the normal enrollment period. So, for instance, you have health insurance, but you change jobs, and your employer who's offering your health insurance now no longer is offering your health insurance. You now qualify for a special enrollment period if you notify the marketplace within 60 days.
And this is instead of what would normally be called your COBRA, which is usually very, very costly.
Right. I mean, this is you changing jobs. You know, you've lost coverage. So what it does is it allows you an opportunity to pick a plan and get into a plan at any point. People have babies. You know, if you have a baby, you're going to want to get that baby covered under the insurance plan that you have. All you have to do is notify the marketplace of these changes in your family, and then you can get this special enrollment period available to you. Another thing to remember is that members of federally recognized tribes and the Alaskan Native shareholders, they can enroll in marketplace coverage anytime during the year.
Oh, that's interesting.
They have an open enrollment period.
Now, does that require them to be on reservations or just if they have what I guess you might call legally or technically?
No, they don't have to live on a reservation.
So as long as they are considered Native American for legal purposes.
They have to be one of the federally recognized tribes.
Okay.
So in order to be one of the federally recognized tribes, they have to have documentation. They have to have proof that they're a member of one of those federally recognized tribes.
Just for grins, how would someone find something like that out if it hadn't been passed through the family? Is there a way?
Well, that's a good question.
Thank you.
I don't know.
I got one.
I mean, I would think that somebody would have a hint based on family members.
Right.
If they don't, I do believe they do some. Genetics testing these days to determine bloodlines.
Okay, that's interesting.
But I'm no expert on that. I can't answer that question. But it's a good question.
Thank you very much. You see, I gave you a new one, so my job here is done. One of the things that you and I discussed, and you sent me a link which I've put on my website, is a rather comprehensive but very simply written booklet, the Coverage Care Booklet.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little about that? And I want to emphasize at thinkwingradio.com, I have a link specifically to that. It opens up in a PDF reader format. And it's what, like 46 pages? But it's really readable. It's an easy read.
Okay. Well, when you're looking at that particular publication, we call it the From Coverage to Care. It's basically a roadmap to better care and a healthier you. So this is a publication that's available on our website. If you go to one of our brick-and-mortar sites, we call them, if you go to one of the enrollment sites that I mentioned earlier, at, say, for instance, one of the multi-service centers there in Houston that's going to be offering the extended hours this week, you can actually pick up one of these. And it's a little booklet that we've put out to help people to understand the importance of having health care, the importance of having coverage. And it goes through step-by-step how to manage your health care coverage, to know where to go for care. You know, how do you know the difference between when to go to the emergency room and when to go to your primary care provider? It talks about how you find a provider. It talks about how you make an appointment. You know, if you've not had health insurance and you haven't gotten in the habit of calling up your doctor and making an appointment, you might be surprised at how that process is. So, you know, it gives you some handy tools on that. And then it tells you what to do before you go to the appointment. You know, how do you get yourself prepared to go to the doctor? You know, it's a lot more than what your mother used to say, put on clean underwear and brush your teeth. It's more than that. It's you know, bring that list of medications that you take. Have a pretty good idea of what your family history is, your family medical history. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that if you're just not accustomed to having health insurance and going to the doctor, you may not know exactly what to do. And then there's a whole section in here on the in our little booklet that tells you how to pick the provider that's right for you. You know, you may have some special health concerns. You may be in a segment of the population that needs a special type of sensitivity on the part of a physician. And so one of our sections in our book tells you how to decide if the provider is right for you. And then we have a section called the next steps after your appointment. That includes things like, you know, when I go to the pharmacy, what are they going to expect from me? You know, if the doctor orders rehabilitative services for me, what does that mean? What does it mean to have lab tests run for me? You know, there's a whole bunch of really practical suggestions and guidance in this book that helps individuals to not only make healthier lifestyle choices, but it improves their mental health and emotional well-being, because information is knowledge, and knowledge is power.
And the booklet also helps to demystify the alphabet soup like HMO and PPO and copay and deductible and all those distinctions. I appreciate it very much. I've been talking to Michael Coulter, an outreach health insurance specialist of the Medicare Advantage and Health Plans branch in Dallas, Texas. I'm hoping that the lack of phone calls means we've just been answering everybody's questions. So thanks so much, Mike, and I think at some point, hopefully, I'll have you back and you'll be able to help us out on some other issues. Thanks so much for listening. This is Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM. And remember, the reason you need medical insurance is because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great weekend.
KPFT is seeking prospective volunteers to help in our music library. Our music library is a massive resource for our DJs and listeners. Volunteers will be assigned a number of different tasks, from refiling CDs to converting music for inclusion into the upgrade of our music library focused on digital. We're also looking for people who can spot up-and-coming bands to feature on our HD3 music stream. Successful volunteers will be team players who work well with others, have the ability to alphabetize, and can manage multiple tasks. Shifts happen weekdays, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. This is an unpaid volunteer gig, but it is one of the most fun times ever for anyone into music, music discovery, and turning others on to outstanding music. Interested? Drop an email to music@kpft.org with the subject line Music Volunteer. We'll take it from there. This is 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston, kpft.org worldwide.
The following program may contain language or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Federal Communications Commission permits the broadcast of some profanity during hours deemed to be safe harbor, when children are less likely to be listening. KPFT upholds a stricter policy, permitting the broadcast of sensitive material only between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m. The FCC forbids the broadcast of some sexual discussions or other suggestive matters, regardless of the hour. If you have any questions or concerns, please call the program director during business hours at 713-526-4000. This is KPFT Houston.
Yes, yes, that's right, man. Eyes on Me Radio is on, and we are on right now, 11 o'clock, Houston's own 90.1 Galveston.